The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This is going to be spectacular.
I don't like games. I don't play games.
That Keisha. No. Oh, there we go. 5'11", my eye. I'm 5'11 and three quarters.
Let's all go into chill mode.
I stand here on behalf of Dan Orlovsky leading this fan club. Carson Wentz is going to ball.
Please, stop it.
When your sentence starts with, I agree with Dan Orlovsky, you're wrong.
Hate and jealousy look bad on Marcus Spears and Dominique Foxworth.
Stop it!
You're just completely making up facts at this point. You know he would have been the MVP if he didn't tear up his knee. Marcus, if he plays like that, you tell me right now the Colts can't win the AFC.
You can't come at me and then go to Marcus. Marcus, you stop it. You stop it. He gonna come at me and then go to you.
I can't believe I'm asking this, but how dope is Bill Belichick?
He may be cool, but it ain't dope.
I defer to others to be the arbiters of dope.
I think we have all decided that this is one dope group.
This conversation is, by definition, not dope.
So let it be written, so let it be done. I knew I was going to regret the shimmy. And we are delighted to bring Dan Orlovsky in for our number two today. The first time we put the two of you together since right before the Super Bowl. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Greeny. Listen, I first time I'm on since the Super Bowl with Bart, I want to give you your props. You said that the Buccaneers defense should play Kelce a certain way. I disagreed. You were dead right. I was dead wrong. When I'm wrong, I want to give others props. So props to you. Good to be back on. Congratulations. Well done, bro.
How about that?
Hey, appreciate it, Brody. And, you know, I figured out today that we share a birthday, so it's all good, man. We're supposed to be,
August 18th?
Be linked at the hip. Yeah, well,
this
man.
Is lovely. Perhaps we can do the rest of that conversation off the air because we have a program to do here.
A little bit.
It's very nice, but we have an hour to start here, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We are all together, and we're talking about this guy, Russell Wilson, and the huge news of yesterday. His agent telling Adam Schefter that his client wants to stay with the Seahawks, but if trade talks happen, he'd only consider four teams, the Bears, the Raiders, the Saints, and the Cowboys. Here was Schefty on NFL Live.
While he's not demanding a trade, he's leaving open the idea of a trade. And even that gets the mind going and gets the attention of executives across the league. And I can tell you that those teams should be figuring out what it would take to get a deal done for a future Hall of Fame quarterback to bring in there. Even if they don't get divorced now, it certainly seems that at some point in the future that they're headed that way. It may not be this offseason. It may be a year from now. But at some point, it seems like these two sides are destined to go their own ways.
Okay, so obviously this is an enormous story. Pardon me. And Danny, we haven't had you so far this morning. So what is your overall take here? Russell Wilson, he's not demanding a trade, but he's already got four teams he'd be interested in going to. What do you make of it?
Yeah, this is a legacy move for Russell Wilson. You know, think about the four cities that he mentions. Dallas, New Orleans, Las Vegas, and Chicago. First of all, big time cities, you know, very much so centrally located somewhat in the heart of the country, entertainment cities, also four organizations that have offensive minded head coaches. Still sitting there and going, I played for a defensive minded head coach for such a long time, and I'm watching all these other quarterbacks play for offensive minded head coaches. This is also about a brand. Russell Wilson isn't a guy who thinks about just now. He's also thinking about 10, 20 years from now and what sets him up for the best situation there. I think there's a reality that he's played awesome football for like a decade in Seattle. This was the first year he had an MVP vote. I do believe that there's a little bit of like, I'm kind of tired of being so good, but not necessarily getting the recognition because I play in Seattle, which is obviously a far West Coast team. I think there's the reality that we need to change the way we're looking at the quarterback movement. For a long time, all of us, myself included, like, there's no way that this quarterback's moving. This is a little bit different now. Make no mistake about it. The teams are out there for a specific reason. Russell wants out now. Russell doesn't want out 3 years from now. He wants out now. And then the last thing I'd say is this. We don't know exactly where Seattle stands because Seattle did it one way with a well-built roster, financial flexibility when Russell was cheap and they won a Super Bowl. And then they decided to pay him a ton of money, which they should have because he earned it. And it's been really hard to replicate that success. I'll be really interested to see where Seattle stands on it.
All right, so for everyone who's just joining us, Jeremy, I want you to go through some of the information that we had in particular about a meeting that resulted in him storming out. I mean, this thing is uglier than I think we had recognized leading up to yesterday.
Well, Greeny, as of now, Russell Wilson does not expect to be traded. The Seahawks have given him no indication that they're doing so. But people around the league now believe this is inevitable. Maybe not this year, but next year because of the growing tension for years. It's pretty simple. Russell Wilson believes they should be back in the Super Bowl. And since they're not, he's trying to provide input or potential solutions to the franchise, to the front office, to the coaches as to how to get that done. He's feeling like that's met with some resistance. That resulted in November in an issue when he stormed out of a meeting with coaches. I was told that that is exactly true. That was reported in The Athletic. That happened. A source called it a dark day. Now, it was resolved pretty quickly. Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson still have a very good relationship from what I'm told. He got him heavily involved in the hiring of offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. But a lot of lingering effects here. If not this year, could be next year.
All right, Bart. So, again, he's got a list of four teams. If we're talking about, well, maybe not this year, but next year, that's quite a way to go into a season, particularly with your franchise quarterback. What do you make of the whole thing?
Well, I think that it is a natural out in Russell Wilson's contract in 2022. He wants to continue to build his brand. To Dan's point, you know, you think that his wife is a superstar. I'm sure he'd much rather get her into a market where she can do what she needs to do from entertainment value. But also, Russell Wilson's tired of having to carry so much of the load. When you look at, you know, some of the personnel moves that these guys have made over the years, it just haven't panned out. Now they got lucky. They lucked into, you know, DK Metcalf, and he's become a superstar. But look at all the work and help that he has to take. And also, quality of life. This is a guy that's been sacked 109 times over the last 4 years. And, you know, I understand that he wants to cook, but also he wants to be able to play a brand of football that's complementary to him being able to get the ball out of his hands, throw the ball down the field, push the ball down the field. And, you know, under Brian Schottenheimer, that just wasn't the case. It was a run-first type of system and not really a lot of imagination, not a lot of shifts and motions, not a lot of pre-snap information. And I think he wants to be able to play and play a game like he sees some of his peers playing that is wide open.
You know, if he's got a list, Rob Ninkovich, I'm just trying to put myself in the position of being another player on that team. If you know that your leader, the guy who everyone is supposed to be rallying around and following, and he's been great in that role, I think almost anyone would say that. But if you know that he has a list of four places he may go and he may get traded, is that something that hangs over the team throughout an entire season?
No, not really. Not with players. I mean, look, I think every player has a list in their head. Like, hey, if I'm not playing football or if I'm not playing for this team, where would I go? I'd go here. I'd go there. I mean, I think that's just the nature of the business. You're as a player, you're always susceptible to being traded and being released and looking for other places that would fit your type of skill set. So, you know, I don't think that that's strange for a player to think about, okay, if I had other teams, this is where I would go. And I don't think players on Seattle are looking at Russell like, no, he's not our leader, he's not our captain, because he said that these are four teams that he'd play for. I don't think that's the case at all. I really don't.
Dan, you look skeptical.
Well, I mean, think about this, guys. So a couple weeks ago, he calls out his offensive line in many ways, saying, I'm getting hit too much, okay? I don't care who you are. You're not going to take to that kindly. Then he goes and kind of someone calls out the general manager saying, like, I need more input on our roster and our personnel. Whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, he's saying, we haven't been good enough. I need more input, meaning that the guys we have aren't good enough. And now he's going, well, these would be the four teams I'd want to go to. Like, at some point, that's going to not sit well in a locker room. Everybody else is playing certainly hard. Russell's their leader, no questions asked. And he's earned the right to, you know, have the feelings that he has. But you call out your offensive line, you have a disgruntled or dysfunctional meeting with your head coach, you call out the general manager, and now it's being leaked of four teams, whoever leaks it, four teams that you would go to. At some point, it's like, and Marcus Spears said this yesterday, I totally agree with him, either come out and say that you want out or say that you want in. But like the kind of the nuance game, I think, is going to get very tired in a locker room.
And you know, go ahead, Bart.
Where it affects the locker room, it affects the players that may want to sign there long term. If I'm unsure that Russell Wilson's going to stay. If I'm Jamal Adams, I didn't come all the way across, you know, America to be stuck with a reboot at quarterback and stuck in the same situation I was stuck in. Bobby Wagner saying, hey, I'm near the end of my career. I don't want to be part of a rebuild. So then you start having other players that are part of your core saying, hey, I think I want to get out of here. And DK Metcalf may have a decision, if he's not playing with Russell Wilson in a couple of years, to take his services elsewhere. So then it just dilutes the entire program. And then you look to move forward, and maybe Pete Carroll has to take a step back and move on as well.
And I think that there's a
huge ramification.
Yeah, I think
Greeny, this is a tax bracket issue.
Yeah.
Sorry, one GM told me, look, as soon as quarterbacks started making $30-plus million, things are changing. You're seeing around the league Aaron Rodgers, hints of unhappiness, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. That is a factor here.
It's fascinating to watch, and it is. It is a whole new NFL. And, you know, in the classic movie When Harry Met Sally, Billy Crystal says, when you decide what you want to do with the rest of your life, you want the rest of your life to begin as quickly as possible. So if Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle, I'm not sure next year is the right time to do that. We'll take a short break. Much more as the quarterback carousel continues to spin out of control. Deshaun Watson is next. He digs in, makes it clear he wants out. So the ball is in Houston's court. What do they do now? And while he couldn't officially say his name, the head coach of the Colts had plenty to say about fixing Carson Wentz. Our quarterback will tell you exactly what has to happen as we continue next. And I've got the poll question up on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Which team on his list should absolutely trade for Russell right now? Cast your vote at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. And it is time for Sneaky Hembo head-to-head with Orlovsky. Here we go. Who are the only two quarterbacks to produce 30 touchdowns in each of the last three seasons? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tomorrow we got great college basketball across the networks, highlighted by these matchups on ESPN. In the Big Ten, number 5 Illinois, number 23 Wisconsin. That's 2 Eastern. And then you got number 11 Florida State taking on Carolina. That's 4 o'clock Eastern time. Great hoops tomorrow right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, Hembo gets so excited for these, and it's a good question. Dan Orlovsky, who were the only two quarterbacks to produce 30 touchdowns in each of the last three seasons? That could mean rushing and passing. Dan, go ahead.
I'm going to say Russell Wilson. I'm going to say Deshaun Watson.
Oh, he got it right. He said layup, and he's exactly right. I will say this. Those are the two guys in the news today. Hembo likes to connect them to the news. I agree with Dan. That one might have been a little bit of a layup. Meanwhile, speaking of Watson, here we go. Our Dan Graziano reports that Watson met with the new coach in Houston, David Culley, last week. And in that meeting, Watson reiterated his desire to be traded. He told Culley he has no plans to play for the Texans again. And then as this reporting was coming out yesterday, Deshaun went on Twitter and posted, "Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it," which is fascinating, but doesn't really tell us anything. So let's start with what we know. Jeremy Fowler, what do we know? What is the latest with Deshaun and the Texans?
Well, Greeny, I'm hearing that Watson very well may sit out games if he's not traded. That's a strong possibility on the table for the player. He could incur millions of dollars of fines if he sits out the preseason and training camp. But from what I'm told, the relationship is, quote, too far gone. That's what a source told me. Now, he's looking at potential teams. He's got a short list. It's up to the Texans to make something happen. You know, he's looking at teams in the top 10, like a Denver or a Carolina, that are intriguing, that could make an aggressive play, have some young pieces on their lineup. And the Jets and Dolphins cannot be discounted because of all the draft capital they have. But both sides very much dug in. In fact, a lot of people around the league believe that Nick Caserio, the new GM, is not going to budge at all until at the very earliest, late April, around draft time.
Late April, so that the draft is the last weekend of April this year. But quickly, Jeremy, all the reporting we've had this week suggests that to this point, the Texans aren't even accepting calls on this. Is that your understanding, that they're not giving any indication that they're willing to trade him?
Yeah, everybody I've talked to that's at least felt around the situation says that the door has been completely shut and that this is the guy from the Patriot way to do it. That if somebody's going to stick to their guns, it's going to be this guy.
All right, so we're at a standoff. And Orlovsky, you have been saying to me for weeks on this show and saying to our audience, like, he's not going back there. So if he's not going back and they're not going to trade him, Dan, how does this play out?
Well, that relationship is beyond repair. Listen, being stubborn is good. Being greedy is bad. And this is what greed would look like for Houston. At some point, they have to stop being stubborn about the situation and realize their greediness to hold him hostage is going to hurt their organization. They've got 61 days until Thursday night, opening night of the draft. 61 days to figure this out. Very clear. So what needs to happen? Get on the phone. You have an asset into the NFL that is probably one of the top five assets in all of the NFL, in the whole league. And I've said this multiple times, and I think Mike Tannenbaum was the first. Miami and the Jets, let's pit them against each other with the multiple first-round picks of this draft, because the relationship is beyond repair. What does Houston get playing hardball long-term here? What is going to be the benefit for their organization? The reality is they are in a 2 to 3 year rebuild. Even then, keeping Deshaun Watson is not going to help your rebuild. You'd have to redo his contract by the time the rebuild is actually done. So at the end of the day, stop being selfish with your organization and realize the player needs to get moved.
To be clear, for those who don't know, and Bart Scott will come to you on this, the Jets have 2 first-round picks this year, including number 2 overall. The Dolphins have 2 first-round picks this year, including number 3 overall. Both those teams also have young quarterbacks that some people may like, right? The Jets have Sam Darnold. The Dolphins have Tua Tagovailoa. What makes sense to you, Bart Scott?
Well, I think, you know, either one of those options, you know, I think is could be good for them. It'd be ironic if they go back and take the picks back from Miami that they gave up from Laremy Tunsil. But it's one of those things that you have to, you know, keep in perspective who we're talking about in the organization. You know, Bob McNair, before he passed, said, you know, during the anthem things, we can't allow the prisoners to run or the inmates to run the prison. Well, that means that, you know, billionaires are sometimes stubborn, and they become successful because they're stubborn. And I think that they're going to try and see if he's willing to be Carson Palmer, if he's willing to sit out, and if he's willing to forfeit all that money. I think this is going to be an ugly divorce. I think it's got to get a lot worse, and I think they're going to try and see if he's really about that life. And we don't see that until after the draft. And after the draft, I think the Jets will be in a position to be able to make more a better case, because if they're going to move down, which is projected, then that means they can get another first-round pick, and we're talking about selling 2020, 2022 first-round draft picks, and the Jets can potentially have 3. And that'll be everything that you need to get better in 1 year, not having it spread out over a course of years.
All right, well, we will see. Again, this is a situation that doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. This quarterback carousel just continues to spin, and we're not getting off it. As we continue, the unlikely footsteps that Dak Prescott needs to follow to break the bank. We'll tell you exactly what they are next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Come on, get up! Dan Orlovsky, you're going to love this. The WGC event at Concession. This is Danny Van Tonder with a wedge in his hand. And watch, Dan, what happens here.
Go pin hunt. He hooked it. Look at the low hand finish. Flies it to the flag to Greeny. This is, mark my words, this is going to be you on the 18th hole at the member guest at Bayonne this summer.
Oh, yes.
To win our flight.
Oh, yes, you are. And if you do that, then trust me, there will be a celebration. All right, coming up, something happened at the end of the Nuggets and Wizards game that has everybody losing their mind. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Carson Wentz and a whole lot more. Look at this. This is how this game ended, and it is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my entire life. Jalen Rose with his thoughts as we continue in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Lift every voice and sing.
In 1991, the University of Michigan's Fab Five took the college basketball world by storm. The all-freshman starting lineup of Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, and Ray Jackson became icons with their baggy shorts and exciting style of play. And four of the five players would play in the NBA.
Our favorite member of the Fab Five will join us live in just a moment. But first to this, because a trade to acquire Carson Wentz won't be official until the start of the new league year, the head coach of the Colts, Frank Reich, can't talk specifically about him. But when he was talking yesterday about how to build up a quarterback's confidence, there's little question what he meant.
Getting good quarterback play is something that is necessary to win a world championship. And obviously here in this organization, the standard has been set. We need to continue to have that kind of play, and everybody loses confidence for a moment. One of the ways to build confidence back is you go back to the basics and you build it one play at a time.
Now, there's a fascinating piece to this, and Dan Orlovsky, we always associate Carson Wentz with you for a lot of obvious reasons. You continue to believe in him. What do they need to do to get him to the right place psychologically this season?
Yeah, first of all, great conversations and communication, but there's a process here, and it's a step-by-step process. First of all, let's get to the football field. Like, what does it look like on the football field? You got to make him a whiner, W-H-Y-N-E-R. Hey, what are our pre-snap thoughts on this stuff? Why are we calling these plays? What are your post-snap thoughts? That's going to give him a plan. When you have a plan, you get to play fast. You have all the answers. And then you go down to like your feet, okay? Your eyes. Where are we supposed to be looking pre-snap? Why are we looking there? Who's the guy that we're looking at? If that guy does this, where are we going with the football, or where are we going with your eyes? That creates the discipline and the clarity. And then the feet are a big part of this. The timing and the rhythm of the play in our offense is always married together. You got to do your part with your feet. No more fadeaways, no more jump throws. Play with balance and structure. Now, Greeny, those three things, the understanding the why of the plays, understanding where your eyes need to be, and your feet, those are this daily commitment, right? When he's got, what happens sometimes with quarterbacks is they come in and they're so talented, right? That you can start to let go of those daily commitments of the basics that Frank Reich mentions, because the talent carries you. And slowly it gets less and less and less and less. And once that becomes this gashing gap, the talent isn't good enough to carry you anymore. So it's going to take that daily commitment by the coaching staff and Carson to really hone in on that stuff and commit. Because once they get that back consistent, that's when you see the talent shine again.
And just to be clear, that feels to me, just listening to it, and you obviously your expertise, I defer to it, that feels like stuff you would do with a brand new player, stuff you would do with a rookie, not with a guy who's been in the league a long time and has this huge contract.
No, that's what every player should do. I remember being with Peyton Manning in 2011, and we would be in our individual drills, warm-ups, and Peyton would be methodical and maniacal with, like, the rotation of his shoulder, how he wanted to finish his throw. We'd go through our footwork drills, and he'd be obsessed with, okay, is my stride a foot or 2 feet or 6 inches where I wanted to? Exactly. Are my eyes, every snap, finding the free safety and then looking to the right and then coming back to our check down? I don't care what level player you are at. That should be something that you build into your daily routine, so it is absolute muscle memory. Because again, once you have that, then the talent point of your game.
That's fascinating, I think. Nikovich, give me a quick first guess. How good is this going to be? He's back with Reich. He's in the perfect place with a really good team. How good is it going to be?
I think it could be great. I think it could be a great marriage back together. Having the confidence, I think confidence is number one in the NFL. When you have the confidence of the coaches and the people around you, that brings you back to that feeling of, okay, I know I can do this because my coaches, they know I can do it. So, you know, I think Dan said it best, muscle memory. Getting back to muscle memory and just going out there and playing football, not overthinking, that's when a lot of people get in trouble. Players get in trouble. They get out there, they start overthinking, they start doing too much as opposed to what you did when you were young or a rookie. Back to the basics.
Fair enough. Okay, really interesting stuff. Let me leave that there for the moment, guys. Much more football as we continue. But next, to the game of the night last night with the young stars on display. It's the Pelicans, it's the Bucks, it's Zion, it's Giannis. We're going to the final minutes. Fourth quarter, Pelicans down 6. Zion strong inside. He was 15 of 26 from the floor. It's a four-point game. And then it's Lonzo, it's Zion. It's Zion, it's the New Orleans taking the lead. He would score 34 on the night. Under 3 to go. Bucks are down 3. But there's Giannis. So strong. It's a one-point game. Still a one-point game, and it's Giannis again working on Steven Adams. No answers. 14 of 27 for Giannis. Bucks take the lead. Next possession. Zion going to the hole. How about Brooke Lopez there to meet him? And now we're turning defense into offense in transition. Look at the big fella. Behind the back and the length of the floor. Giannis had 38, Milwaukee the lead. Here's how it ended. 15 seconds to go. Pelicans are down 3. Milwaukee inbounding. Wait, we got a steal. We're going the other way. We got ourselves a chance. Pelicans, someone has to want the shot. Ingram, Hart, Lonzo, who wants it? Who wants to take the shot? Oh my goodness, nobody does. They don't get the three off. The shot clock expires, and that is all she wrote. New Orleans doesn't get one up. Giannis and Zion combined for 72, and the Bucks win at 129-125 as we talk it over with, as promised, our favorite member of the Fab Five, the one and only Jalen Rose is here this morning. Jay, I want to talk, there's so many things, and there's another finish I want to get to in a minute, but I actually want to ask you about Zion. Like last year, he wasn't playing, and he was all anyone wanted to talk about. This year, he's averaging 26 points a game, shooting 62% from the floor. He had 34 last night, and I don't hear anybody talking about him. What is Zion right now?
Stan Van Gundy has done a terrific job of getting Zion on the move. If you noticed in a couple of those highlights, Steven Adams is basically in the paint like an offensive lineman, just clearing space. You want to put shooting around Zion and allow him to be your playmaker. In theory, that's how you use him to his strength. If you notice, it's not those awkward possessions where it's swing, swing, and also Zion open for a three. It's him cutting, him rolling, them zippering down so he can go to his left hand. It's him playing with pace. It's him playing with tempo and finishing with force. He had 30 points in the paint. 30 points in the paint. That's Wilt Chamberlain-like.
Yeah, again, that's why he's shooting 62% from the floor. So he's having a terrific season. But again, their team, that was a terrible final possession. But if you thought that was a bad final possession, the Denver Nuggets last night said, hold my beer. Here we go. This is how this game finishes. Washington up 2-1 Denver. Jamal Murray, 5 seconds left. This is a 4-on-1 break. They have an easy, uncontested layup at the basket to tie the game. But look where everybody runs. They all run to the three-point line. They wind up getting off that shot that isn't even close, and they wind up losing. And you know what happens is everyone looks at basketball now and they say this is analytics. It is what it is. Jalen, what is that last possession?
A lack of professional basketball IQ. I hate to break it to fans and members of the media, and it's not just in the pros. Sports is actually a kid's game. And you know what people do more than you realize? They play like we're not keeping score. And then all of a sudden you look up the last 2 minutes, oh, like, oh, it's a close game, let's try to win the game. Think about the Pelicans game. They were down 3 and ended up going for a 2. This team is down 2 and ends up going for a 3. It shows you what they're taught. It shows you how they practice. But I'm going to tell you actually whose fault this play was. Michael Porter Jr. Run that play again.
Yeah.
He's 6'10", Greeny.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray has the ball on the left side. When the defender commits, that's his dunk. That's his dunk. Not the guy who's the undrafted rookie shooting it. Michael Porter Jr. is their third best player. That's why if you see him walk off after this, watch who he points at. His chest. Look, my fault. Because he knows he should have been the guy to take that layup or a dunk. He put Jamal Murray in the bad spot, especially if Murray wasn't going to pull up for the three.
For those who can't see him, he's the one in the lower right-hand corner. He's all the way. He's the one with the number 3 on top of him. And he easy. I mean, that's your point. He goes to the basket there. He gets an uncontested dunk. We go to overtime, and there we go. That is just a crazy and candidly ridiculous finish. Okay, one more thing. Because, you know, Mr. Fab Five, we got to show you your guy, Juwan Howard, and your beloved Michigan Wolverine.
Hail to the victors, baby!
Maybe the best player in the country, Luka Garza, in your building last night, but Hunter Dickinson was giving him everything he could possibly want. Garza would score 16, but Dickinson playing tough D on him all night long, and this was a night that would belong to Michigan. Late in the first half, that's Dickinson doing it on the other end of the floor. He would score 14 points. Then just over 11 minutes left in the game, Michigan is up 9. Isaiah Livers has got the steal. We're turning defense into offense. Oh, and Livers is going to throw it down. He would score 16 on the night. And then we got some action for Franz Wagner with the bucket off the glass. He would score 21, and Michigan wins it 79-57. They are not just winning, they are blowing people out. And I will ask you, Jalen Rose, with everyone understanding that you are hopelessly biased, is Michigan the best college basketball team in America?
Yes. And here's why I say so. There are some terrific coaches across the country in collegiate basketball, but their teams look a lot different when they don't have the best players. Just think about what I just said. What Juwan Howard has done, first off, a couple of transfers. We have Smith at the point. We have Brown on the wing. They bring distinct roles. One leads the Big Ten in assists. The other's a lockdown defender that can make three-point shots. We have Livers, who's a senior, who understands what it takes, along with Eli Brooks. You have a wild card in Wagner, who's going to be a pro. That's a slasher. And you show Dickinson, the big fella, the lefty, played Garza, made him shoot over the size, and they can play multiple styles. So if you want to shoot the three, Michigan can shoot the three. If you want to slow it down and play half court, they can throw it inside. And so based on that balance, that's what you're going to need in order to advance in the NCAA tournament. I love Gonzaga. I love Baylor. Ohio State is really good. There's some terrific teams in the tournament. There's some terrific teams in collegiate basketball. The Michigan Wolverines have shown me they have the capability of winning it all this year.
Look, they have one loss. Gonzaga and Baylor are unbeaten, but Michigan is playing in the most loaded conference in the country by far. To have only one loss playing in the Big Ten this year is an incredible accomplishment. Jalen, you're the best. We'll see you tonight. NBA Countdown is coming your way because we've got the Friday doubleheader tipping off with the Pacers and the Celtics. That's at 7:30 Eastern tonight, a good one. And then you'll get LeBron and the Lakers taking on Dame Lillard and Portland in a big one in the Western Conference. That's our action tonight. It starts with Jalen on NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. As we continue, Russell Wilson giving the Seahawks a list. We'll tell you which team should be trading for the disgruntled Seahawks star right this minute. Plus, the unlikely footsteps that Dak should follow to break the bank. The one quarterback who knows exactly what Dak is going through. You'll hear from him. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tomorrow night, NBA Saturday primetime matchup presented by AT&T on ABC and the ESPN app with Luka and the Mavs taking on the Nets big three. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 8 Eastern on ABC. And with that, I welcome you back to our studios of the Seaport. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN with you commercial free for the next 12 and a half minutes, taking you to the top of the hour talking football. And that is when First Take will take over, and they'll be talking to Zion Williamson. We just mentioned what a great season he's having. He'll be live with Stephen A. and Max and Molly. They're coming your way top of the hour here on ESPN right after we wrap up. Again, we're with you commercial free from now until then. And the wait continues for the Dallas Cowboys and their quarterback, Dak Prescott. While the two sides work to complete a deal, Dak waits until March 9th to see if he is franchise tagged for the second consecutive season. All of this is eerily similar to the path of another NFL quarterback. Quick question, quick answer, no Googling. Do you know which player has been paid more money than any other over the last five seasons? It's not this MVP or this legend. It's not Big Ben. It's not Russ. It's this guy.
You like that? You like that?
And he most certainly does. Playing on the franchise tag not once but twice helped catapult Kirk Cousins financially. Since 2016, he has made $138 million. That's $8 million more than Rodgers, $10 million more than Wilson.
Dak, this is Jerry Jones and your Dallas Cowboys.
Like Cousins, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. And like Cousins, he can head down the very same path and laugh all the way to the bank. In fact, Cousins basically told him that.
My message to Dak, you know, when I saw him midseason last year was, hey, whatever happens, you know, don't be afraid of the tag. It can be your friend and you can use it to your advantage.
And Dak has so far. Without the deal he wanted last summer, Jerry Jones tagged him at a cost of $31.4 million.
Keep Kirk Cousins to death, baby.
And now it's deja vu. And why shouldn't Dak follow Cousins' footsteps again? If he doesn't get what he wants, Jerry will have to tag him at a cost of $37.7 mil next season. And then things would start to get really interesting. Prescott would become an unrestricted free agent in 2022 or receive a third franchise tag at a whopping $54 million. No matter what happens, just like Cousins, one way or the other, Dak Prescott is going to get paid. So this to me is so fascinating. And Dan Orlovsky, you got so much conversation going here yesterday, and I'm glad that we can revisit it. When you were suggesting you're paying a good player, great player money and all that, we can debate just how good he is or isn't all we want. But at the end of the day, Dan, and this is what we didn't get to yesterday, you recognize the leverage that he has, right? He's in a position right now where there's no way he's taking good player money. That was 2 years ago. He's going to get paid great player money either by Dallas or somebody else, yes?
Yeah, likely. I got three things to say about the situation. Number one, what does Dak want? At the end of the day, and I've said this before, for the next 10 years, what does he want? Does he want to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? Okay, well, if that's what you want, if that's what your goal is, then you can make that happen using the tag and using the business leverage. But understand, it is incredibly hard to then be the championship quarterback. And in that conversation, doing so when you take up 20% of your cap. Number two, everybody, player and team, should pay attention to what's happening in Seattle and learn from it. Because Seattle paid Russell Wilson top money. They probably should have, no questions about it. but it's really, really, really hard to win at a high level when you do that. So what do you want? Do you want to win at that high level and be the first quarterback in the last 20 years to finally get it done, or 30 years to finally get it done in Dallas? Quarterback in football. That's my question. And my last question will be this. My last point will be this. And this is one that you can legit answer. Does anyone here think that if the Cowboys pay Dak Prescott $40 million a year, that they can win a Super Bowl? If you do, please tell me how and why.
Well, Bart, let me go to you on that. If they do pay him all that money, and no one is debating players wanting to get as much money as they can, but can you win in this day and age with a quarterback getting paid that percentage of your cap?
You can, but it puts the pressure on management. It puts the pressure on your scouting department, because it's not because Russell Wilson took all the money. It's because they've been horrible in the draft. And it puts in, that's what they want to do. They want to put all the pressure on Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott gave them 4 years where he was making underneath $2 million a year to make sure that they got a foundation around him of young players, much like Patrick Mahomes has around him. They're able to pay Patrick Mahomes all this money. Do we not think that they can't win a championship with Patrick Mahomes? We do, but what do? They bring in a Charles Edward Helaire. They go out and they find a Harmon. They go out and they find Sammy Watkins' replacement in the draft a year early. So what happens is guys want to put the pressure on the quarterback when the front office has an obligation to make sure that they bring in cheap players to balance the books. And that's what I'm talking about. Dak Prescott is only, if he gets $37 million this year, Dan, is only going to average about $12 million a year over his career. The first 4 years of his career, he made under $5 million. He gave them a discount to go secure all the young talent around him.
Go ahead, Danny.
I get your points, Bart, but that goes back to my initial question of what does he want? Like, yes, you're right. First of all, Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott, totally different conversations, okay? Like, Patrick Mahomes can carry an organization, but that's my, like, do we believe that the Cowboys are so well run and they're going to hit on, because what happens when you pay Dak that money, you got to hit on every draft pick. There is no wiggle room.
Yes.
Because Dak hasn't been great. Been transcendently great. He's been good. In the last 4 years, they're 29 and 25. Quarterback wins aren't anything, but that's what they are. They average 23 points a game when he starts. That's average. Okay, so what makes what makes us think that when he was at his cheapest and they still couldn't like win a ton, which is the ultimate goal, right? They still couldn't win a ton, that they'll be able to win a ton of games when he's going to be at his most expensive.
Let me get Ninkovich into the conversation here.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to get Ninko get a chance. And I also want to point out, Hembo put that number on the screen. No team has ever won a Super Bowl with a quarterback making 15% of their total salary. Tom Brady has skewed all of this by always taking less money than he probably could have. Ninko, what do you think?
Well, look, when I watch the NBA, I see good players being paid elite money. And I'm like, who is, I don't even know this guy. You know what I'm saying? So in 2021, it just seems like the NBA is turning in, the NFL is turning into the NBA. They're going to pay good players great money. And it's just, it seems to be the way it is. You got quarterbacks that are disgruntled. They want to be traded. They want to go to another team. It's the NBA turning into the NFL. It's just, it's the way it is right now, 2021. It's a new age, I guess, because these teams are in positions where they don't really have any options besides paying a quarterback $35 million a year, and he's average.
Right. The way the system has been set up, it just the next guy in line tends to get the next biggest contract, which brings us to Russell Wilson. And Jeremy, I'm going to get your thoughts on this. Adam Schefter tweeting yesterday the story that just sort of set everything off. Russell Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears, his agent Mark Rogers said to ESPN. He does have a no-trade clause, which is why he can be in charge of that situation. So, Jeremy Fowler, take us through it. If you're naming four teams you'd be willing to be traded to, obviously there's something to be talking about here.
Yeah, Green, from my understanding, Russell Wilson has had this shortlist as soon as he put that no-trade clause in his contract when they renegotiated 2 years ago. He had that ready to go, so in case Seattle ever brought that to his attention, that he could be a trade possibility, he could dictate terms. That was his goal. This is about power here, because when Seattle just said, you know, they came out publicly and said, well, at least they told Wilson that they weren't going to trade him. That was because things had leaked that teams were calling. And so Wilson said, well, I'm going to take advantage of this and take the story back. Plus, you combine that with the fact that he's been unhappy with the fact that they haven't won the Super Bowl and that he's tried to provide input to that situation. He felt that the team has not listened all the way like they could have. He's been hit a lot. It's all added up to some growing tension over the last few years.
Okay, so we will see if anyone is able to pry him out of Seattle during this offseason. It's not expected, but it's not impossible. So I have the question up on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny, and it's very simple. I just put those four teams that are on his list up there and said which one of them should absolutely move heaven and earth to trade for Russell Wilson right now. Let me come to the crew and ask them. And who do I go to first here, Alec? We will go to Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, who should be moving heaven and earth to trade for him right now?
The Bears should be scouring the earth to try to find enough draft capital to make this happen. I think they're even in disbelief that they're on Russell Wilson's list. But cue the Ninkovich freestyle Bears voice, because this has to happen for them. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer. I couldn't believe that stat when I heard it. Never happened in their career. So they need to get this going, get a top five guy in their locker room.
That's right. They've been in the NFL since they were the Decatur Staleys in 1920 and have never had a 4,000-yard passer. Rob Ninkovich, the pride of Joliet, Illinois. Which team needs to go get Russell Wilson?
Well, let me help you out. I'll figure it out for you. He needs to go to the Bears. The Bears. They need to do whatever it takes. The Monsters of the Midway are going to get Russell Wilson. They're going to the Super Bowl, baby. Let's go.
Okay, I like that. That's an easy one there. Bard Scott, what do you think?
I'm going to the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, also because they can offer Sierra something that nobody else can, a residency at one of those great casinos. So happy wife, happy life. Also, you go to an offensive-minded coach as well. And also, you have tremendous weapons. You think at Darren Waller, Renfrew, and Henry Ruggs, that gives them an opportunity to have some elite weapons around him. And you know that, you know, that Gruden has all power, that he's not going anywhere, so it gives you stability. And he's going to listen to what you want to hear, what you want to say, because he respects you tremendously, especially when his days is in the Monday Night Football booth.
That's an interesting one. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think?
The Chicago Bears. One, you have the chance to save your job, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, because without Russell Wilson, you're going to get fired. So your question becomes this. Do you want to get fired some point through this season? Likely, because there's not many quarterback options out there. Or do you want to invest a ton of future draft capital and maybe a player on your football team to go get Russell Wilson, win some games this year, likely save your job, and then try to figure it out afterwards? I think you choose the latter. Go get Russell Wilson. Understand that it's going to create some issues for you in the future, but it's better to have to handle those issues than being home, because the quarterback market is drying up. Chicago is a win-now football team. Go get one of the top three, four quarterbacks in the NFL and Russell Wilson. Decide that you'll deal with what it's going to cost you to go get him later, and give yourself the opportunity, or the best opportunity, to keep your jobs.
Well, I take a look at the Twitter results here.
Mitchell Trubisky?
I may have a disproportionate amount of my followers in Chicago, but 39% of those who voted at ESPN Greeny on Twitter voted for the Bears, which would make Rob Ninkovich and my Chicago-born wife extremely happy if it works out that way. Guys, thank you. Everyone, thank you for getting up with us. Have a wonderful weekend. First Take with Zion Live now.